digital talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. And our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. This show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice, tips, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. And you click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel One. Scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and you click on the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of our past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. Just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there you go. From 2008 until present. If you want to find out about our future guest, you want to visit the official Question Reality website, and that has our list of guests. We're booked all the way until July. Fantastic. Lovely. That website is questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com, and that has a little brief bio of the guest, their website if you want to check them out, and all the details that you'll need so you can just tune in and listen to them live and find out even more fantastic things about them. Now, we have a guest on the show today that we had before. She was very popular and we got emails. Everybody loved her. She gave great advice. She's fantastic. She's lovely. She's incredible. Her name is Nancy Chris. She is a producer, a director, and an actor. She's also the president of Nandar Entertainment. So if you want to look that up while we are going into our advertisement phase, which is to tell you about these wonderful workshops that are available for actors, you want to check out the website at nandarentertainment.com. That's NANDARENTERTAINMENT, nandarentertainment.com. And we're going to talk to Nancy in just a couple minutes. But first, I want to tell you about the lovely and most necessary workshops if you are an actor. Now, the first one I want to tell you about is a free workshop. Yay, yay, yay. This Tuesday. Now, all of these workshops I'm going to be telling you about are for trulyacting.com. Trulyacting.com, T-R-U-L-Y, acting.com. And the email address is info@actorscreativeworkshop.com. Now, I'm not sure. I've been asked in emails why do they have a website? It's trulyacting.com. And then their email address is info@actorscreativeworkshop.com. And I actually am going to find that out because I just don't know. I'm assuming that maybe their original name was actorscreativeworkshop.com and then they changed their website, but I don't know for sure. So I'll find out. All of the classes with them, you can pay via PayPal, which is really convenient for a lot of people. So the first workshop, it is free. And it is this Tuesday, March 27th, from 6 to 7 p.m., and it is with the famous Jeffrey Brooks. Jeffrey Brooks is a manager and a producer, and he works with actors and to blend the business side of the industry. And you know I'm all about the business side of the industry. And he mixes that with the creativity of the acting. And so he coaches actors on character development, how to obtain representation, which is so important. I mean, these are the two things you need to be a successful actor, right? So rather than concentrating on one technique, Jeffrey teaches students to utilize all the disciplines and the tools at their disposal to become the actors that they want to be, which is what we all want. We all want to be what we can be and not join the Army. Okay, so that was not funny, but okay, I tried. Jeffrey Brooks, most of the people in the business, you've heard this name, you know who he is, but just in case you haven't, he's coached actors to find success on shows like CSI Miami, Without a Trace, Heroes, Everybody Hates Chris, My Alibi, CSI New York, Mad TV, ER, Life, Zoe 101, ER, Two and a Half Men, Ghost Whisperer, X-List, Mentalist, Criminal Minds, Entourage, LAPD, Grey's Anatomy, Carly, Young and the Restless, General Hospital, Cold Case, and Numbers. And I could go on and on and on, but I got to have a cutoff point. And he's also worked to place actors with some of the biggest agencies in town. So this is a very, very important class, I would say, for it being a free workshop. So if you want to go this Tuesday, 6 to 7, go to trulyacting.com to find out more details, or you can email them. And the address should be right on the website. Our next class, again, at trulyacting.com is Monday. It's going to be on two Mondays, March 26th, which is tomorrow, and then April 2nd. And this is the last chance to register for this. This is with casting director Susan Paley Abramson and Paul Weber. And everybody knows Paul Weber if you're in the business. And it's a two-week workshop with Paul Weber. Now, Paul Weber, in case you don't know, Paul Weber was this, he was the executive head of television casting and also a feature film consultant for MGM Studios. And he really went between both mediums with ease. And for series television, Paul had wildly popular shows like Stargate, and then his Poltergeist for movies. I think Poltergeist, Dead Like Me, The Outer Limits. There's so many I can't think of everything. But these series and others, I think that he was responsible for 21 Primetime Emmy Award nominations. So he was part of that. So that's pretty big. And now for the big screen, I know that he also advised on numerous MGM features like the blockbuster James Bond franchise, Fame, Zookeeper with Kevin James. I love that. Hot Tub Machine, which was really weird, but I kind of liked it. Red Dawn. And his current projects include Balula, which is starring Dakota Fanning and Ryan Philippe, The Unexpected with Paul Giamatti, and The Stupidest Angel, based on the best-selling novel by Christopher Moore. And the TV series projects that he's working on is The LA Complex, premiering this summer on the CW, as well as Spartacus, Vengeance, and Noir for Starz Network. So I would highly recommend this class. And you want to check that out again, trulyacting.com. And that is on tomorrow night, Monday the 26th, and then April 2nd. And then let's see. Lastly, we have on Tuesday at 8 o'clock, March 27th, and Wednesday, March 28th, at 8 o'clock. Now, this class is a little pricey. It's $100, but it's a two-week workshop with Susan Paley Abramson. Cannot say her last name, and I apologize. Susan has been working in casting since 2003, and some of her credits include Entourage, How to Make It in America, Secretariat, Rambo, Rocky Balboa, Fantastic Four, et cetera, et cetera. You can check her out on IMDb. And that is for trulyacting.com, so you want to go there and get into these classes. You need classes. Get in front of the casting directors. That's how you get cast. Okay. All right. Now on to our lovely, lovely Nancy Chris. And again, Nancy Chris is Nandar Entertainment's co-founder and president. She is a woman. She is so lovely. She is a woman of many talents, and they're all emanating from entrepreneur. Am I drunk? Did I have too many cocktails? I feel like Nancy. I think I was partying at Nancy. Nancy is with us today, but she has been partying all day with her barbecue, and I feel like I'm the one that's drunk. I'm getting fumes from Nancy through the line here. Okay. She has has entrepreneurial spirit that energizes her ability to create opportunities from success in everything that she does. And by the age of 13, Nancy had begun her career in show business with a role in the TV series Petrocelli, and followed by reoccurring roles in the Paramount series Webster. And before long, she was appearing in a variety of TV and feature films and commercials and stage plays. Now, the last time when we talked to Nancy, she was her latest film was entitled Finding Mr. Right, and it was a romantic comedy starring Matthew Montgomery, David Moretti, and the very funny Jason Stewart, and it was receiving rave reviews. So we're going to find out what happened with that. And then also, she was telling us about a project called, it was a thriller called Crimson Creek. So we are going to find out what happened to that, along with getting some little tidbits on how to make it in show business. So without further ado, Nancy, are you there?
I'm here. You're wonderful.
Yes. You can never hear that.
What
an
introduction. See, this is why you're my favorite radio show, just so you know.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, last night, Nancy, I got to tell you about an opportunity that slipped right through my fingers. I got to tell you, you're going to be sick over it. I went to see a friend of mine, Jim Meskimen, who is just an incredible celebrity impersonator. I'm sure you saw him on YouTube. It's like a viral sensation. It's the guy who was doing all the different voices, the celebrity voices, while reciting Shakespeare. I don't know if you saw
that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's Marion Ross's son. Remember Marion Ross, the mother?
Oh, yeah.
The mother. Well, that's her son, Jim Meskimen. And we went to see him. He has a show, a recurring show called Jim Impressions. So we go there. It's a packed house. Two of my friends are running late, so there are two seats next to me. And the house person sits, this lady and man, right next to me. The woman is sitting right next to me. And I'm looking at her. And I'm thinking, why do I know her? But I'm talking to my friends. And then finally, these two seats become available. And I say to her, if you want, you can sit over there next to my husband, because my friends are running late and it was a better seating area. So I find out at the end of the show that this was the lady who is the voice of Bart Simpson. And I am dying. I said,
oh, my gosh.
I couldn't believe it. And I'm talking up a storm to her, and I get her autograph, and we hug. Everything's just running smoothly. And I forget to ask her if she would be a guest on my radio show. Can you?
Oh,
I mean, who better?
Yes, you messed up, girl.
Who better to be to talk about voiceover acting than a woman who's been the voice of Bart Simpson for what? How long has that show been on?
Oh, my God. It's like the longest running television show out there.
I know. And she told me they just got picked up for 2 more years. And I said, oh, my God, I am a complete moron. I can't believe I let that opportunity slip through my hands. And now I am trying to think, what is the best way to go about getting her on my show? So that is my dilemma for the day. Have you ever had that happen to you, where an opportunity was right in front of your face and you were just so excited about meeting the person that you completely forgot to ask something that could have been beneficial for you? Is that
a problem
for you?
Well, not that I didn't miss the opportunity, but I thought it probably wasn't appropriate. One of the years when I went to the Academy Awards, and you guess who was sitting next to me? Donald Trump.
Ah, what?
And I'm just like, I so want to ask, would you finance my next film? But I just thought, you know, that's really not probably appropriate. But yeah, it's amazing. You never know who's sitting next to you. It's funny.
I know. Nancy Cartwright is the voice of Bart Simpson on The Simpsons. And I tell you, she is a lovely woman, just so nice and kind. And she talked to us for about 15 minutes, laughing. Her husband's very attractive. And I thought, oh, my God, this woman is just – a lot of people overuse that blessed thing. I'm so blessed. I'm blessed. And, you know, my husband
–
with that, because it's like, well, okay, you're blessed. What about the rest of us? Aren't we blessed? Just because we don't go around
yeah, what's that got to say?
What the hell are If you're blessed, aren't we blessed? So we just,
I know, we're so blessed.
Doesn't that annoy you? It's just overuse, right? But I said to her last night, I found myself saying to her, oh my God, this woman walked into an audition, because I asked her how she got the part of Bart Simpson. It was just a random audition. And it's not like,
oh, really?
Yeah, just a random audition. So she walks in, she books the part, and this is the only person that I know that has had nonstop work as an actor for over 20 years. I mean, I don't know any soap opera. I know some soap operas have gone on for 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
But this is the only person I thought, if anybody's blessed, this woman can say on Facebook, I'm blessed, but that's about it.
Yeah.
The entertainment industry, you can be riding on high one day, and the next day you're in the unemployment line. So, but
I know. Well, I don't know if you got my message, but I actually just started up another production company.
No.
Because, as you know, with Mander Entertainment, that was my dad and I, and that's the first that everybody's like, how'd you come up with Mandar? You know, well, my dad's first name is Daryl, so D-A-R, and my first three initials. So we took our first three initials. That's where Nandar came from. But during the filming of Funny Mr. Right, I actually lost my dad, and he passed away when we were making that film. And so basically, you know.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so it was rough. We, you know, took a break, but, I had to pick it up, and we dedicated the film to him. And so, basically, you know, and the film's doing real good. It got really good raves. And so I want to just dedicate and leave the company at that point. But it's just coming back because I'm all saying, okay, I want to branch off with a new production company. And so we're trying to think of names. Well, the name I came up with, and then the logo we've just been working on, but if you go to stonecoldpictures.com, that's the new production company that will actually be launching like Crimson Creek and some of our new films under.
The reason I came up is
how the industry makes you.
Now, let me write that down. Sweetie, let me write that down. What is it called? Stone?
Cold. Pictures. Stone Cold Pictures.
Is that the website?
Yeah, that's the website. We just, I just start putting it up, so it's kind of under construction.
Okay, got it.
But you'll follow along with the films that we're doing along there. But yeah, and there's like, where'd you come up with that name? I'm like, because that's what this business makes you, or the people are that you meet. It's kind of ironic to the thing, because it's like everybody's so stone cold in this business.
Right.
So that's you know, the business name kind of came from that area. It's just like,
You
know, it's like you got to have a tough skin in this business, unfortunately, and it's not for those, you know. It's like you just follow your dreams and stick with them, and it's like, you know, I'm fortunate. Like I was telling you a few minutes ago, you know, like right now I'm having a huge barbecue in my house. I just bought a new place. I've got a 14-stall barn. I have my horses here, and we're actually going to be making a movie here at my place later in the year. Our distributor asked us for a new comedy, so we're doing this Dude Ranch film one. So I'm going to have fun with that one because I get to incorporate everything I'm doing, you know, from my
horses.
Because I'll actually be acting in that one, too. So I'm actually stepping out from behind the camera to in front of the camera, too, on that one. And it's going to be a blast.
Well, it's about time. We haven't seen enough Nancy Chris in our life.
I've been hiding behind the camera for a while, so I guess it's time to step out a little bit. But
you got to definitely keep us abreast about that. Now, with you, how many acres is it that you have?
It's 3.5 acres, and basically I'm just putting in a new arena. And for horse people out there that might be listening, I have a new round pen in for training and a couple paddocks and a 14-stall barn. And
pretty much
the barn's full now. If I walked outside, you guys would hear all the horses yinning, but I've got a bunch of people outside right now because we're having a big barbecue, so I'm hiding in the house right now.
That is so great because you could actually I assume you're going to do this, but have your own production company there and also set up like a little production studio where you could shoot things, get a green screen in there, and you could shoot so
many. Oh, yeah.
Save a fortune.
Well, yeah, and that's why I wanted, and he was thinking, you know, the distributor wanted us to do a couple more films. We're actually doing two films that the distributor asked us for. One I can't tell you about right now because it's kind of a hush-hush project, but between you and I, Priscilla, because, yeah, I mean, you've been so great, and I love just talking to you. I will give you the exclusive release when we get ready to release that film. So you will hear it first, all your listeners.
Yes!
But I'm not allowed to talk about it right now.
Okay, I accept.
Yeah, so it's going to be great, yeah, because we'll, you know, actually get to shoot everything here, and I also do a youth bull riding association for little kids from like 3-year-olds to 19 that we put on a host and sponsor. And so we're going to actually be bringing the arena from my store and bringing it over here, and we'll have like bull riding and all that. So it's going to be a really funny comedy film. So.
Oh, I love it. You can do, there's so much that you can do on your new property. You could do just about any type of film you want, except a cityscape, I would imagine. But you can
Well, that's why I throw my green screen up. I have a huge green screen. Actually, I just filmed here Friday, and then we put the white stage up.
Oh.
So, but yeah. So,
the last time we talked to you, Nancy, you were about to start working on that thriller, Crimson Creek. Now, what happened with that?
Yeah, we're still developing it because it has a creature on it, and I've been speaking to a friend of mine, Harvey Lowry, who, if you look him up, he's, you know, been nominated for several Academy Awards, and his team, they worked like on all the big pictures, Pirates and all that. I talked to Harvey just a couple weeks ago, and I sent him over the script because our creature is the main thing, seeing as it's kind of a sci-fi film. So I'm very excited that Harvey's willing to help us out for our film, so it's nice to have somebody on his level that's, you know, had several Academy nominations and won several Emmys. Will be, you know, hopefully coming aboard to help us with the creature and the film. So we've been working on that. But the comedy, the distributor liked there are three creatures basically, but they now want us to put the comedy in front of Crimson Creek. And Crimson Creek takes more development. So we're going to be shooting the comedy later this year. And we probably won't shoot Crimson Creek until the beginning of next year. It's just because I have so much development in it.
Right.
And then, so I'm going to try to get these other two features. We have three features on the slate. And then actually, we are going to do a couple of short films, too. One's called Irobium, one's called Spring. And we're getting a little aggressive with that one. Irobi is one that I think will do well, that I'm hoping that's a topic that the Academy Awards will like. And so we're going to shoot hard. So hopefully all your listeners will help support it when it comes out. Try to get Academy nomination for that. So I'm going for the gusto on that one.
Make sure that you let us know so we can do an advertisement at least.
So we're raising the bar. We're raising the bar. So
yeah, well, you know, my husband and I, we started a production company this year, and we're only going to focus on short films and music videos. And I love, honestly, I mean, not only budget wise, it works for me to do shorts, but I actually really like shorts. I honestly do. Like, there was this one, I don't know if you ever saw it, but I'm obsessed with shorts. It's called Bitch by this guy named Dom Bridges from England. It is what the best short film I have ever seen. And I am sick over the fact that it did not get the recognition that it deserved. But go to YouTube and you type in Bitch by Dom Bridges, it is brilliant. It is so funny. And this guy, are you ready for this? He did this whole short film for £247. I don't know how much that is in dollars, but I imagine it's double at the conversion rate. So like $400, $500. And when you see this, it is so good. And you think, why is it that I am trying to do, because right now I'm working on trying to do two short films and two music videos, and I can't find anybody to do my films for free. Everybody wants a fortune. So my question to you is, Nancy, how do you effectively, if you're a filmmaker, you want to be a filmmaker, how do you get a good film made for I'm going to say cheap or inexpensive or on a really low budget, but not to look like it's an El Cheapo film? How do you do that?
Yeah, well, you know, fortunately for us, I own like all of our own production gear, so it's easier for me at that point. But you got to get to that point. But you know, there's so many. I mean, we used to raise the financing for Finding Mr. Right, and what we're doing for this new film that we're going to be doing is you know, there's downfalls and upsides to the internet and social networking and everything going on right now. But there's a couple of great sites out there. We actually used Indiegogo.com to raise money for Finding Mr. Right, and it worked very well. I think we raised 10, 12 grand just off that site through donations and pre-sales of the DVDs. You can get creative out there, and it's just, you know, I think you and I talked about this lesson. One, you know, that irritates me about these people in this business, because I'm still about, when you're working your way up in this business, if you love it, there is nothing wrong. It's not degrading to do a job for free. You're doing something that you love. You're helping a dream come true. You're making a movie. That's what we all want to do. And you never know who you're going to meet on that set.
That's,
you know, that knows somebody that leads, because this business is really about networking and who you know. You know, and I've been fortunate enough that by doing that and doing a lot of projects, now I work with a lot of Academy Award winning and Emmy nominated people that have become really good friends that help me out on projects and stuff. But it's just like, you get creative, you get people that are passionate, and it may take you a little bit to put your crew together, but now, you know, I have a really good crew. I've been using them for a long time. And we're getting ready to do this new comedy, but we have to really keep the budget down. So I went to my crew and I said, look, this is what we've got for budget. This is, you know, I will bring you crew in on the back end, because we already have distribution for what we're doing it for. This, it for sure will make money. And everybody's willing, you know, hey, man, we don't mind. We'll help you out with the project. But it's like, you know, you develop those relationships, but there's a lot of creative ways out there now that you can make money to go make a good film. And it's just like, don't cheat your shot, and don't, you know, give up what you really want, you know. And there's and the thing with HD now and how cheap cameras are and stuff, you can get a really good looking picture for not a lot of money. You just got to be creative and smart and stick to your budget. Because I don't know how many times I've been on project and I go and I say, okay, this is what I have for this department. And they always come back and say, no, we need this. And I'm like, well, we don't. That's why you have a budget. If I say you got $3,000 for your department, you can't come back to me and say you need $4,000.
Right.
It doesn't work that way, you know. And I've always made it work. I've always been able to bring the picture in on time. But you just got to, you know, stand firm, get creative, and stick to getting the shots that you want. Because, you know, the one great thing about the technology today, you can make a really good-looking picture for a little amount of money.
Yeah, with the right crew. I mean, it's
with
hard.
With the right crew.
I've always had a problem with, I guess I feel guilty because I want to pay everybody. I can't ask people to do things for free. And I have a real problem with that. Like, I want everybody to get paid because gas is so expensive. I can't ask an actor to just use money out of their own pocket because they're struggling actors and crew and everybody actually that's involved. I can't ask them to work for free. I've had that problem. So that is going to be my biggest problem is trying to get actors to do the copy credit meal. And one of the problems that
I don't do that. I do pay. I pay my cast, non-union or not.
Yeah.
I always pay them at least a minimum of $100 a day.
Exactly.
Because everybody has gas or living expenses. But, you know, if your normal day rate, say, is $350, I try to at least make a fair and say, look, this is what we got. It's a low budget, but we can at least everybody gets the same across the board as $100 flat per day. Either you can help with the film or you can't help. Or like in this case of the other one we're doing, even if, you know, normally their day rate, like, you know, the DP's getting $350 or more a day using our equipment or whatever, I'm like, look, I can give you $100 a day right now. I will defer it. The thing is, and everybody hates that word defer, but one thing, I stick to that. Like Finding Mr. Right. As a production company, you know, I have a lot of my own money in that film, but the one thing I did, the moment that first dollar came in, instead of me recouping my cost, I put myself in with everybody else, and the first money I got on that film started going out to all the investors, no matter how small, only because I want to be able to go back to them, and
that's
it's
right.
Crucial to take care of the people that stood behind
Absolutely.
You and put their hard-earned cash on the table to help
right.
you make your dreams come true.
I agree,
yeah.
And I really appreciate your viewpoint on that because I was recently working with someone on a film project and I was executive producer and that person was like, well, you know, if you want to pay everyone, then don't expect to get a quality project because you really need to put the money where it counts, which is paying your DP and paying for the crew. And the actors are used to, you know, doing it for free. And I don't agree with that. I really can't do it. I just can't.
Yeah.
I cannot do that. I have to pay them. But I see that person's point too, because if you spend, there was a lot of people that were involved in this project. So if you pay every actor $100, then you're going to end up paying like $1,200 because, you know, they're
right.
So it's a real dilemma with filmmakers, because I've talked to other people that also say, God, you know, I want to pay the actors too, but if I have $3,000 and $1,200 goes to cast, then, you know, I'm going to be missing out on getting a really good DP. And so it's really hard to find. What do you feel you should focus if you have $3,000 budget or $5,000, what do you feel you really need to focus your money on that you absolutely need to say, well, this is what most of the money goes on, and then if I have money over, you know, I put it on this?
It's pretty much like you're saying, it's your key positions. Those are your most crucial, like you know your DP, your key gaffer for, you know, lighting and everything else. You got to have your key people. You know, at least three or four of your key people, especially your DP, because I've had a film before where he was just there for a paycheck.
Right.
And he could sell it in the film, and that's very irritating. So, obviously, my number one is DP.
Right.
You know, you make a break, and then sound is my second.
Sound.
Because without, you know, sound's 50% of your picture. But, you know, it's just like to me, you can raise it and make it work. If you tighten your shooting days, you know, I mean, there was, like, Finding Mr. Right, we were down to our last 2 days, and we still had 30 pages to shoot.
Whew.
But we were able to knock them out. We shot 15 pages a day, which is just about unheard of.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
We did a three-camera, you know, we did a three-camera shoot. So I could get the medium close-up and a wide shot. And, you know, just do two takes and not lose anything that I wanted as a director. But it's hard because, you know, I understand not wanting working for free, and then I'm like you. I feel too guilty. I want to pay everybody. I don't, you know, because I feel the actors, too, will put more into it, because even if it's a little bit, they can go and say, I got paid for that job.
That's right.
You know,
they
will put more into it.
That's
so,
right.
Know, I'm sorry, but your actors are just as important as your crew is. Because, you know, it takes everybody to make a great picture.
And really, you know,
that's like if I'm paying my crew $100, I'm paying my actors $100. I try to spread it across the board so that, you know, everybody feels equal.
Exactly.
Everybody's contributing equal on the picture.
I love that.
You know, and the point is, you know, if you put out these, you know, little pictures and then your next picture, you'll have a little bit more. But, you know, the sad thing I'm seeing this day and age is before, you could make a small indie picture. As long as you kept your budget under $250,000, you'd make money on it. Now, if your budget's not under $50,000, you're lucky on a small indie film that you're going to make money.
That's just right.
Because this industry has changed so radical, it's crazy. You know, and it's like, you know,
what have you seen? What are the biggest changes you've seen that has made this so hard for people to get things done?
I guess the whole distribution avenue of it has just changed. So now, you know, we're trying to figure out as a small indie company, you know, I've worked on pictures from, probably my smallest budget was like about $30,000 for a feature. Then on up to millions of dollars on features, you know. But it's just the industry has changed so much, and it's like, you know, you used to have your black hole. Don't make a picture between 2 to 5 million or you wouldn't make money. So you had to be over that or it had to be 6 million and above or you would just lose money. Now it's just like so changed, and I think, you know, because of the internet and a lot of people can distribute their own films, and you have so many horror stories about distributors and taking your money and you never see. So to me, you know, we've lucked out. I have a relationship with a really good distribution company. They work hand in hand. We sit down. We say, okay, what kind of film you want next? Where's our budget need to be? Cash? You know, who do you want to see in it? And we take that avenue. You know, we're lucky. One of the few things that you don't get this day and age is pre-sales. We were able to get pre-sales from the territories for Finding Mr. Right. So, you know, that helped. That brought in some of our budget. So it's just, it's really hard. It's like it's changing daily. That's like we're watching Crimson Creek because it is a sci-fi picture. And the way things are rotating, we're like, should we wait a little bit, maybe do this picture first and then give us more money to do that picture and watch the market and, you know, what pictures are hitting right now and stuff. You know, the good thing with Crimson Creek, though, being a sci-fi picture, it has its own built-in audience. And that's one of the things that we try to do is find, you know, genres that have kind of a built-in audience. So at least you're guaranteed to try to get your budget back. You know, because the last thing I want is for my investors to be burned.
Right.
So, you know, that's why it was important that first time when we got money back, you know, even though 70% of the money in that film is my own personal money, I wanted those people to step aboard to get a paycheck from day one. And when we released that film in September, they got their first money in December. Every quarter I send them a check. So,
that's,
you know, we've been fortunate with that film, but, it really is getting harder and harder for the independent. But you see the studios getting away now. You know, they're just buying more pictures than what they are making them because of the cost. But it's crazy. And it's almost like right now we're in this period where you just got to kind of sit back and watch. You know, because we don't know exactly where the distribution avenue is going and where to have your budget to be safe so that you're not losing money on these pictures. Because, you know, we all want to make a great picture, but at the end of the day, you still got to make money.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Now, what for people that are, because you're obviously, you're on the an upper echelon level than people who are just starting out. So what is the most that a person can do? Say, let's talk short film. What's the most that a person can expect to do if they make their short film? Say they spend $5,000 on their short film. They collected money from their family, friends, whoever wanted to give them money. What is the most that they can expect to achieve with the short film? Because I know that short films are very limited in what you make back. Like, you can't distribute them. I do not believe that. So what's the most that you can do?
Well, you know, the one good thing, though, is now with all the different avenues, like even with Amazon, you can do video on demand. So you can make money on your short films.
Oh.
Where I think before you really couldn't, because, like, we did the little short film stuff for the child, and I have, like, video on demand, and, you know, we get downloads of it. I've sold DVDs of it. Then another thing you can do is, you know, there's some people that still put out short DVDs where they'll go to the festivals, watch for shorts, and compile a whole DVD of some really good, whether they're comedy shorts or horror shorts, and then you all can, you know, distribute in the profits of that. So
what
you
are
can
some...
box them that way, but with downloads right now and just building, you know, you got all these great social networks out there right now that helps build your film, spread it, and do video demand, you know, and we're doing that on our little short. But the main thing I think with shorts, like we're doing this one called iRobi, and it's basically, you know, that one I'm just doing to try to do really good into the festivals to win some more awards for our production company and so forth. So the aspect of try to make money on it is just try to really get recognition, because, you know, I've had other friends of mine and even higher up that are big names in the business that have gone on and done shorts and web series and then have been called in by Universal Studios or Warner Brothers to see what they have next and have gotten deals off of their short films. So to me, short films are like a great calling card, whether you're a producer, director, or even actor. If you can get involved in a good short film and it gets recognition out there in festivals and it starts circulating and people can see it, it just leads, to me, can lead to bigger and better things. So...
Well, Nancy, I tell you, I have to apologize because a portion of your advice was cut off because I don't know, something happened. Yeah, so the last thing we heard was, well, what you can do with the short film is just I know a lot of it was lost and we can't go back and repeat genius. Genius is lost, it's been lost, but maybe you could sum it up. You said.
Oh, yeah, well, basically, I'm just saying that, you know, you can make money off of short films. We've done it on video demand, DVD sales with ours. You know, Amazon's good video on demand. There's a lot of different little social networks out there where you can get involved in and make money, you know, and whether you make a Facebook page for it or so forth, but just spread the word about your film. You know, like I was saying, our short film, I'm doing it more for the recognition to win some more awards for our production company because, you know, I've known some good friends of mine that are high up, big time directors and so forth. Other people that I've known that's also gone on and done shorts, the great thing about it is I've known several people that have got called in by Universal Studios or Warner Brothers because they heard of it. And they, you know, they want to see what else you're capable of doing. So one thing it can do, it can also open doors to the big studios for you.
Right.
So, you know, it's not always monetary is what doors it can open in Hollywood, depending on how serious of a filmmaker that you are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just mainly, you know, getting the recognition out there and, you know, putting pride, no matter whether it's a short feature or whatever. The very first film I ever did was True Legends of the West. Sat at McDonald's with my dad. I said, I want to do a feature film. He's like, what? I said, I want to go make a movie. I've been in them. I want to produce. And off of that Western comedy, I got an email from a gentleman at Universal Studios calling me in about developing it into a TV series.
What? Correct.
Out of my very first feature film.
Wow.
So it's like, you never know. And there's an example of a small indie film. Our budget at that time, $75,000. We did a Western period piece for $75,000. So it's just, and, you know, it, you never know what you do and what kind of doors it was open. But it's just, you know, I'm big about following your dreams, be happy, live life to its fullest.
That's,
you know,
right.
If you want to be in the entertainment business, be an actor, don't let anybody beat you down. You know, it's so hard because family and friends are like, what? You want to be an actor? You want to be a producer, director? What? That's crazy. You know, but it's just like, you know, follow what's in your heart. If that's what you want to do, go out and do it. Nobody's going to just open that door for you and say, here you go, here's a film, go be an actor, director, or whatever. You know,
that's
open
right.
your own doors, get up off your butt. Make
that's
your dreams
right.
happen.
Right. Where there's a will, there's a way. So
that's right.
That's what I always say.
I mean, look at you. You know, since you and I talked, you started your own production company. You're out doing short films. You know, you got your radio show. You got your production company. You're doing the same thing.
That's
you
right.
Know, so that's all up to you.
Well, I was a plus size model, and you know, I was just I get emails from there's a wonderful, talented, world famous, I guess, kind of photographer. His name is Wayne Schoenfeld, and then there's another one named Gerard Ranison. And I'm not into the world, or I wasn't involved in the world of art and photography, so I didn't really know their names. All I know is that my agent called me and said, I have a photo shoot for you to do for these two gentlemen. So I did them years ago. All of a sudden, now I get these emails that my exhibit, the exhibit that I was in, is now being shown. I get invitations to come to the exhibit in Milan and in Germany and in Russia and in London. And I mean, and then I find out that there's a picture of me, a 50-foot by 50-foot picture hanging in the museum in Paris. And my friend goes and calls me up. She's like, oh my God, I went to the museum on a date. You were on this wall. And I had no idea. And I mean, I got paid a small fee to do it, not much, like $500 for the day.
Uh-huh.
And now, years later, I'm still going strong all over the world. And I'm like, well, yes, you know, so it just goes and I feel proud of that work. I feel proud that I was in those two exhibits. And I'm also in, and then I was getting my headshots, Nancy, and my husband's sitting in the little lobby while I'm waiting to get my headshots. And he says, Priscilla, did you know that you were in this coffee book? I'm like, what? What the hell? So I find out the pictures that the photographer went on to make a book, and all of the pictures are in the coffee book, and then there's calendars. So you never know. I got paid one rate, and I am still being distributed all over the world, and I feel proud about that. I'm not thinking, oh, my
That's
God.
Awesome.
I mean, some people are like, oh, I didn't get a cut, and, oh, you know, I didn't get a royalty fee and all of that, but that's not how I think. I feel proud that I actually was part of something, and it's still going strong, and this was like 2005.
See, but you did it. There's the difference. That's a person that's in this business for the money. There's people that's in it for money and fame, not for the love of the craft. And those are the people, the longevity, the ones that are in it for the love of the craft and not for just the dollar and to be famous.
I,
you know what I mean?
If you're in it for money and fame, well, you should be in it. I think personally for the art of it, you should do it because you love it, because it gets you excited, because your heart beats. You feel like a little schoolgirl.
Yeah, I mean, look at you don't get royalties, but look at how excited you are talking to me about that picture still hanging up.
I know.
You know that it's the passion. You know, I have two passions in my life, and that's my horses out there in the barn. And making movies.
That's...
And I'm not going to say I'm blessed, Priscilla.
Don't say
I'm lucky enough to create my own fortune to be able to go out and do that and make a living at it and, you know, be able to follow my dreams. But nobody gave it to me.
That's right.
I went out and had, you know, earned it, worked for it, and I didn't give up.
Yeah.
You know, I was started in this acting when I was like, you know, 11, 12, 13, whatever I was on Petrocelli. And, you know, still here. I can't say how old I am, but I'm still here.
we'll say you're 39.
That's right.
Never.
Never take
ever.
1 year.
Well, you know, we got it. I don't think it's a secret to some, but I think it's a secret to people that are out there who go on auditions or are out there trying, and then they get constant rejection and they take it personally, and they're not understanding that you have to do it because you love it. Expect nothing, and you're going to get more than you could ever expect. Is what
yeah.
I.
And it's so hard. You know, I've been on that side of having to go and do auditions and all that, and it's so hard not to take it personal. But, you know, coming from the producer and director side, and, you know, I sit in on a lot of my own casting of who I want, a lot of it is look and personality comes across. I had, for my Western, I had a big-name actor that wanted to do one of the roles and was really upset. Because I wasn't given the role, I went with a no-name person. Just because he happened to have the look that I really wanted. And it's not about you personally or that you're not a good actor or this or that. It's just we have this vision in our head. So obviously, you know, 100 people that come in to audition, you got to go with the one that you feel is right. It's not any attack against you personally. It's just, you know, the right audition, fitting the right part, going in knowing your part. And going in with confidence.
That's right. That's what you have to do. Nancy, guess what? Oh,
it's that time.
It's 5:50 and we got to go, and I'm so sad. I'm going to have withdrawal symptoms from you.
Will you call me afterwards? You guys tell me what's going on with your short films and stuff.
I will, and you keep me up to date. And listen, if you want to check out Nancy's website, it is stonecoldpictures.com. Nancy, you know I'm going to ask you to come back next year.
I'll be there. You know.
Okay. All right.
I promised you that secret film. I'll release it first with you.
Okay. That's right. So you make sure that you call me and I'll reschedule somebody to get you on. You are first priority.
Oh, you're sweetheart.
All right, sweetie. Now you got to promise to name one of your foals after me. Now there's got to be a little foal named Priscilla. So
there you go. I will do that. I'm going to put your name up in my barn.
Thank you, my darling. Well,
all right, sweetie. Thanks for having me on.
That was Nancy Chris. Say goodbye to your fans, Nancy Chris.
Bye, everybody, and stay in touch. We'll see you on the big screen.
Bye.
Bye, sweetie.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.